seems this morning there's been quite a lot about light. And there were just a few thoughts that had come to me in the last 2 days about this matter of light. And so we haven't much time, and all I'm going to do is turn you to a number of scriptures which you might like to note down. And we'll make a few comments on them, that's all. And so see if the Lord doesn't meet us in this matter. In Isaiah chapter 9, already quoted this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, how great the darkness of this world. When you think of the conditions surrounding us today in the 20th century, in 1970, we can only describe them as darkness. We have so much. Just at present, we at home, the last few days, have been without electricity on our ground floor, without hot water, and we've suddenly realized how much we depend upon these modern things. When you think of so many folks who still live like that, fetching water in so many countries and rely upon candlelight or tilly lamps or kerosene lamps for power and light, it makes you realize just how much we have come to depend upon all these modern things. We not only have electricity and hot and cold running water, we have fridges and electric cookers, and we have radio sets and telephones and television and so much else. Dishwashers, if you belong to that class. Cars, you think of all kinds of things. And yet, quite honestly, the darkness is still as gross as it was when this prophecy was given to Isaiah. Absolute darkness that the people are walking in. And we can only praise the Lord that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Are you amongst those? Oh, thank God that we've seen a great light. And for those of us who've dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon us has the light shined. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm so glad that Ken and Jill had a fuse. Because if they hadn't had a fuse, then Ken wouldn't have found that little bit about fuse wire. Now, when you look at that, look here. It's almost the size of one of my hairs. Just a little more. I don't know how many of you can even see it. Can you see it, Mrs. Cutler, at the back there? No, you can see it or you can't? No, you can't even see it. Yet, a whole place like this, as Ken said, depends on this little slender piece of wire. It somehow, I'm no electrician and I'm not technical, as you all well know, but the power, you might have all the power in the world in the mains, the electricity mains in the street. They may come right into the house, but if that one little piece, normally about as long as that, is missing, we're all in dark. We are not only living in the dark, walking in the dark, dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, but there's no possibility of the light coming to us. The power may be there, the mains may be there, but until that little piece of wire is in place, no possibility of light shining on us. Now, the Lord Jesus is just that. Just that. Someone spoke this morning of that godly Simeon taking into his arms a 5-week old baby and saying those wonderful words, a light for the unveiling or the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What was he talking about? He'd seen it. There in his arms was the slender connection between the power of God and a world in darkness. There in his arms, as he blessed it, was the means by which all the power, the light of God, the glory of God could come to a world that was absolutely alienated from God. There was the reconciliation. There in that little slender body, flesh and blood, was the power of God and the glory of God and the life of God and the salvation of God and the purpose of God. Everything centered in that little baby. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. One has to be so careful because some people might start, including myself, might start to become familiar or irreverent with divine things. But it was as if the Lord Jesus was God's future. That's all. The light shined because God had got the wire. The connection, the means of flooding the whole world with his light and with his glory. If you turn over the chapters in Isaiah to chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There, think of that. God has got this means by which he can cause light to shine upon us. Now I turn you to another verse that was also read to us this morning in Luke chapter 2. Verse 32. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. When Simeon said this, he had seen something of the purpose of God for the Jewish people. It was originally that through them the light of God might be taken to the ends of the earth. And that's why the lampstand at that point and since then became the symbol of the Jewish nation or people. It was that they should be a lamp that would bring the light of God and the salvation of God to the Gentiles. But that had been forgotten. The conception had become one that was narrow, interned, introspective, and very proud. And dear old Simeon, he saw in that little baby this glorious truth that the original purpose of God for the seed of Abraham was fulfilled. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. That is, through this little baby, it wasn't only that Israel was going to have her whole history and meaning of her existence fulfilled, but the Gentiles were going to be brought in. The glory of thy people Israel. Well, we are Israel. Thank God. If you have been born of the Spirit of God, then you're a son of Abraham. by faith. And you have been included into this great, incorporated into this great thing that God has been doing down through the ages. The Jewish people don't realize that the Lord Jesus is the glory, is their glory. But one day, you mark my words, as sure as I'm standing here, it's going to happen, and not so far distant, that the Jewish people will suddenly begin to recognize that the glory of Israel is the Lord Jesus. The glory of thy people, Israel. So shall all Israel be saved. Oh, we can understand a little more of this, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. In my margin it says, for the unveiling of the Gentiles, the unveiling of God's glorious purpose concerning the nation. Well, we are at the end of this dispensation, of this age. We look back and we can see the marvelous, mysterious workings of God by which through the falling away of the Jewish people, salvation has come to the ends of the earth. And so you and I have been included in this purpose of God. And so we shall see the last stage when God has called out the fullness of the Gentiles. Then once again will that darkness, that veil be removed. And all Israel shall be saved. Oh, a light, a light. That little bit of fuse wire. So slender. It lights the whole house. Without it, darkness. With it, light. Power! Think of that. Where would we have been if Christ had not come? No light, no power. Someone sent to me a most extraordinary Christmas card. I hope you've all got good sight. Here it is. Not a traditional Christmas card. Not one of those wonderful scenes we heard about a little early. Can you all see it? I'm sorry. Do you? It's a lampstand. The seven-branch lampstand with the light on top. You see? So clever. But the loveliest part is when you open it. Now, of course, that won't mean much to you, most of you, but it's Hebrew. Jesus. You see? A light. The lampstand, a light. Here it is in Hebrew. Yeshua. Jesus. Now Jesus is the lampstand. The very meaning of the people of God. The life of the people of God. The salvation of the people of God. The glory of the people of God. The testimony of Jesus. Now will you please turn to John chapter 1. And we take what we've said a little further. John chapter 1. Verse 5. 4 and 5. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not, or apprehended it not. This is a wonderful verse. What it simply means is this, that when the Word became flesh, when the Lord Jesus came into this world as the light, there was a conflict between light and darkness. The light started to shine for the first time in darkness, and the darkness, in its confrontation with light, sought to put out the light. But it failed. Thank God for these simple words of Scripture. The darkness overcame it not, or apprehended it not. Yet, when I was first saved, I only had a Gospel of John. I had no other Bible, and amongst the company in which I was, some 500 strong, including the Sunday school teachers, not one single person thought to give either my sister or I a Bible. So for 3 years we were without a Bible. But we had a Gospel of John, and we used to read it and read till we found my grandfather's old Bible stuffed in a bookcase at the back. We used to read it and read it and read it and read it. And one of the verses I could never understand was this: and the light shineth in the darkness apprehended it not. Father much for the 12-year-old, I suppose, to quite understand. Apprehended it not. It was years later when I was doing Chinese at the School of Oriental African Studies that I began to read John in Chinese, and for the first time I understood it, because it said, and the darkness was unable to extinguish it. It couldn't put it out. It couldn't smother it. It couldn't apprehend it. It couldn't grasp it. The light was such that the darkness fled before it. What wonderful words. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not, or was unable to extinguish it. Thank God for that. Herod tried to extinguish that light, but he was unable to. God kept the light burning. Later on, again and again, they tried to stone him at Nazareth, for instance, but he went right through them. The light shone. They couldn't put it out. They plotted to kill him, but God confounded their plotting. Finally, when it came to it, in Gethsemane, the devil put all the pressure upon the Lord Jesus Christ to extinguish the light, and he swept great drops of sweat as of blood. So great was the mental pressure. And it was at that point that an angel appeared to strengthen him. The light wasn't extinguished. Now, many people read Gethsemane as if the angel came before that. No, came after it. I'm sorry, came before that to strengthen him for going through that pressure, so that he could go to the cross, not my will, but thine be done. And of course, what about the cross? There even the sun lost its light. The heavens became dark, and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It seemed as if the light was out, but it wasn't. The light had passed in some mysterious and incomprehensible way into the realms of darkness and did its work. Went out into those invisible hosts of evil and slew the lot. And an hour or so later, we hear those triumphant words, it's finished. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The light had won. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness was unable to extinguish it. It was unable to smother it. Unable to overcome it. I think of church history, and I think of occasion after occasion when the light has shone. Oh, my dear brother and sister, what a history we've got behind us. We're all involved in it. We've got thousands of years of the glorious and mysterious dealings of God by the Holy Spirit behind us today. We're privileged people. It's not all before us, it's behind us. A wealth of history. I think a time of and again when darkness grappled with the light and sought just to absolutely smother it once and for all. Oh, we could be here all today just talking about those occasions. Myself, I can't help feeling that shortly after Constantine's conversion was one such occasion, but still, we'll leave it. There are other occasions too when darkness came in and sought to the massacres of the believers. But the light was not overcome. I suppose it's true that for us, the worst occasion is yet to be the time of Jacob's trouble, when all the forces of darkness will conspire in one final, ultimate attempt to put out the light. will take on a human form in the Antichrist, and a system that will be more or less worldwide in its influence, if not in its sovereignty.
But they'll not overcome the light. Just as at Calvary it seemed to go out, that will be the point of God's greatest triumph.
And so it'll be with us. We trust the Lord. We shall know the truth of these words. The light shone in the darkness, shines in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Let me give you another two scriptures, and then I must finish, for our time's gone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Thank God for that. The devil thinks he's put the light out in China. He hasn't. There'll still be something in China. The devil thinks he's put the light out in Russia, but thank God he hasn't. There's going to be a light there. And the devil may have thought he did the same in many other countries, not necessarily through outward persecution, but he hasn't. The word of God says the darkness overcame it not. And the word of God is truth. Oh, blessed be the name of God. He's absolutely faithful and true. Now here we have in this verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, seeing it is God said, let light shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a miracle it was when light shone into your heart. I am afraid, by persuasion now, more of a Calvinist than an Arminian. Although I am an Arminian. Work that one out. I'm as Arminian as the Bible and as Calvinist as the Bible. But you know, I can't help but be amazed the way some people come in under the sound of the gospel. And they hear it and they appreciate it and they seem to understand it and they don't come to the Lord. And I see someone else comes and the light shines into their heart. And in an instant they're saved. I remember dear old Mr. Cager years ago, drunken stupor. Captain of a ship, came home. He himself called himself a blackguard. And in his drunken stupor, God saved him. And when he woke up with a hangover in the morning, he was a converted man. His wife couldn't believe it. He asked for a Bible. He, of course, became a Calvinist. What else could he be? And then, of course, his wife, listen to this. His wife was sweeping the corridor and she was so stunned by what she'd seen in her husband that she leant on the top of the broom to think about it and was converted. These two, of course, became the parents of Arthur and John. Well, now, of course, I'm not throwing this in to cause confusion, but isn't it a miracle when the light shines into our hearts? There's such darkness in us. Such darkness. We twist even the word of God. We can twist anything to our own way of thinking. But when the light really shines into our heart, isn't it wonderful? Seeing it is God who said, let there be light, who hath shined into our heart. In the same way that God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God has said of you and me, let there be light. And there was light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, how thankful we should be for this light that shone. This little bit of fuse wire that has brought the whole of heaven's light and glory and energy and power to me and to you. Not only to a whole world and a universe, but to you. So that it's light inside. We're children of the light. We are light in the Lord. That's what it says. We are light in the Lord. Well, now, last two scriptures quickly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. This is the message which we've heard from him and announced unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no darkness in him at all. That's a wonderful thought. No darkness at all. If we walk in the light, oh, but there is an if. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, ourselves and God, and with one another. A triangle. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Light. If it costs God so much to bring light to us, surely the least we can do is walk in it. How many works of darkness there are amongst Christians? How many areas of darkness in our lives? The least we can do is to walk in the light. He is the light. We've been placed in the light. Let's walk in the light, whatever cost it is. Let's put right anything that needs to be put right and walk in the light. And lastly, Proverbs 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the dawning light. That's how it is in the Revised Version. Not shining light, but dawning light. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Do you know something of that? Shining more and more. I remember speaking years ago with such a dear old Christian worker. Oh, how much I loved her. She was 73 then. And she was like a mother in Israel, but she took me one day aside and she said in that wavery voice of hers, love, she was a very honest woman, I can't understand Proverbs 4:18. Why not, I said. It says the path of the just shall be as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But she said, it hasn't been with me. I feel as if I've lost the light that I had. Well, I don't know, but that can so often be true of Christians and Christian workers. We must walk in the light, keep in the light, and the promise is that it will grow more and more unto perfect day. Shall we pray? Lord. Dear Father, thou knowest that we've all been darkness at one time. And we thank thee that thou hast caused that light to shine not only upon us but in us. Brought us to thyself. But oh, the battle that there is to put the light out. The battle that there is to bring us back into darkness. Father, we thank thee that the message of this time is, arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Oh, Father, may we all know what it is to walk in the light. And so to have fellowship one with another and know the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. We ask it in his name. Amen.